Bottled up in a flying cylinder on your way to an overseas destination, it's not so unusual to feel jet-lagged as you end up in a different time zone, but a new study commissioned by Virgin Australia reveals that many people also feel net-lagged after being offline for the duration of the flight. I'm joined now by Dr. Andrew Campbell, cyber psychologist at the University of Sydney. Welcome to Tech Daily.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me.
So talk me through this. A long-haul flight, no internet. What impact is this having on people?
We've got some measures in psychology that we know about for distress. And funnily enough, I wouldn't call it distress, but I would call it increased boredom. So what we're seeing is people getting a little bit agitated that they can't be in contact with loved ones or news feeds, or for that matter, just doing something productive to make them feel like that when they get there, they can unwind. Because being in the air for, say, 14 hours is quite a long time not to do something that you might feel is actually beneficial for yourself. And since you can't exercise, you might as well do some work or have some leisure time. And having the choice for that leisure time is quite important. And that reduces the stress and the boredom.
Now, of course, being disconnected from the internet covers quite a variety of different things. What do long-haul travellers feel they're most missing out on when it comes to the internet?
I think the most things that they're probably having some kind of connection concerns with is their own choice of connection. So as we know, most airlines have usually provided in-flight movies and games, which is fantastic, and that's a good thing to do. But trying that for, say, 7 hours straight, you get a bit bored. So having your choice of what you want to connect to, such as your email, your social media feed, your own games and your own streaming, it's about personal choice. So having that is a very big deal.
And does fear of missing out also play into this?
Yeah, look, the old FOMO is definitely there. I'd actually say it's different for different people. Younger people want to be connected to anything and everything all at once, where I'd say a middle-aged person is probably very selective on what they want to be connected to. And you know what? There's going to be people who don't want to be connected and just want to have distractions. So they'll choose their own personal streaming.
Okay, so we've just learned that Virgin Australia is now offering in-flight Wi-Fi for international destinations. For those who are highly connected, what are the best ways to fill the void if you're on another airline with no internet?
Oh, look, you know, at the moment, you'll see people come on with pre-downloaded films. They'll operate their emails offline and then send them off in a batch at the end. Certainly when it comes to social media, they're really just streaming through old feeds than actually updating them. But truth is there's nothing better than having real-time connection, because you want to respond when you see something and you want it to be done in real time.
So perhaps it's best to find out in advance if you will be connected or whether you've got to sort of work around that.
Yeah, look, to be honest, it's one of those things that I think is going to be a high-demand service. Mm. I dare say that people are going to want to plan their flights very carefully from now on for Wi-Fi-enabled flights versus not. But I think Virgin's leading the way here, and it's quite an impressive addition to the flight experience.
Absolutely. Now, you know, on a similar topic, how do you feel about the use of mobile phones on planes, specifically if people were making calls?
Yeah, look, definitely that's something people want. I mean, cost has been extraordinarily high for that sort of service. So that's definitely one of the things. But you know what? We're probably also looking at the fact that a lot of people don't necessarily want to make the phone call. They might want to receive messages and texts.
Yeah.
But making the phone call can be quite intrusive when you've got somebody sitting shoulder to shoulder. So I'd say it's a good option to have, but it's probably something we'll see introduced into different parts of the aircraft as that technology becomes cheaper and more private.
As a cyber psychologist, what are some of the other current trends that today's connected world is struggling with, in your view?
Look, the number one, the one that I'm asked about the most, actually, is internet addiction. And the truth of the matter is that we've never been able to substantiate, and when I say never have been able to, I mean in 20 years of research, we can't substantiate that we're addicted to the internet. I'd say it's more of a buzz term. We are obsessed with the internet. We are obsessed with functions, and there's definitely certain functions, such as social media and gaming, that can have addiction-like qualities. But that would be the biggest thing. The second thing we're looking at is the increase in virtual reality experiences, and looking at how that's actually going to change the way we interact with information and our leisure time. So those are the biggest areas right now, is how do we control the time we have online, make it productive and healthy for us, and how do we immerse ourselves more?
And I dare say something else you probably get asked about quite a bit is managing screen time for kids, probably specifically teenagers, right?
Yeah, look, very much so. And the it's an interesting short answer I can give to that one. That screen time recommendation, particularly one given by the Australian government, is very much outdated and based on television. It's based on what we used to do in the 1960s and 70s, which is 2 hours a day was recommended. Now, for the life of me, I've never been able to find out how that was measured to be a good thing or a bad thing. It seems to be a bit of an arbitrary type of number for how much time you spend in front of the screen. But we do know that spending too much time for eyes in front of the screen can be bad, and posture can be bad. And then the second part of it is what you're viewing. You know, what you are actually viewing is probably more important than how much you're viewing.
And also interesting that we learned this week that the latest version of iOS coming out from Apple, they're actually going to have some measures in there to report back to users about the amount of time they're having staring at their phone.
That's right. And look, you know, it's a nice step in the right direction for giving people a choice and reminding them definitely very consciously how much time they've spent. I think it's a good step towards health and wellness. But I was discussing this the other day with some colleagues. What we do in cyber psychology is specifically measure two things. One, what the technology does to actually make us want to interact with it. And two, we then monitor our own levels of motivation, because ultimately we're driving the technology. It's not driving us. So you have to want to be able to listen to the messages and switch them off and do what they say. If you don't have that that level of motivation, then it's probably nothing more than just a take a look. You've been there for a long time. Do you want to make a change? And most people who are busy will probably go, no, not right now.
Absolutely. Now, Andrew, I feel that there is plenty to keep you busy for a long time to come. I really appreciate your time on Tech Daily.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here.